Thank you. All right, Wednesday evening, 8:10:22. Stay on track. God has your back. All right. I'm going to read a little bit here, and then I'll do some scriptures. Sound doctrine is one of the biggest needs in the body of Christ today. People are all over the place in what they believe and how they are to handle things. No wonder everything is such a mess. As the church, we are essentially the lighthouse to show others the way. It is standard Christian protocol to know who we are, how to stand our ground, and not allow Satan into our domain. We must be cautious who we listen to. Right now in the Truth or Movement, a weeding out process is happening. Everyone has their own opinion about things, and even some say the Lord said. Who are we to believe? We've been lied to about everything. This comes to my point. We are to stay hooked up with God, and He will hook us up with those that are walking in the Spirit and telling the truth. I remember Brother Hagin standing in the pulpit, and out of his mouth came the words, "We're going to start a prayer and healing school." Well, somewhere it got off track. They added counseling to it. People outside their ministry were coming to him and his staff for counseling, and they were accommodating them. Brother Hagin began to sense that something was wrong. He said it was like taking a shower with his raincoat on. Might look good on the outside, but inside something was scratching at him. Like, what's wrong with this? He went to the Lord about it, and this is what the Lord said. "I never said prayer, counseling, and healing. I just said prayer and healing." They changed it. He told Brother Hagin that he could do that for his own staff, for they are kind of like his flock. But to outsiders, he said they need to go to their own pastor. And if they did not have one, this was their problem. So I said all this to say this. We cannot be all things to all men, but we have to stay within the track that God has set for us to run on. I recently had another strike yesterday from YouTube that took down another program. I was asking the Lord what to do about it, and this is what He said. Before Danny had a word kind of confirm that. He said that my call is to Odessa and the Permian Basin. He did not send me to social media, but television. All right, we make sure we do not add things to what God told us to do. As humans, it's very easy for us to do that. This is what causes most of the problems. If you notice, He usually keeps it pretty simple because He knows we probably screwed that up. Seems to me that it's the hardest for people to just do the simple things the Lord has said to do and stay with it. It's kind of like the prophet that He said, "I want you to go. And, you know, don't stay, don't eat, don't drink, and don't even go back the same way. Go another way." Well, here come an older prophet along and said, "Well, the Lord, the Lord speaks to me too. And an angel visited me and told me, tell you, you need to do this." And so he did it. And then what happened? He got killed by a lion. All right, if it isn't what they thought it should, well, let me start back. All right, He usually keeps it pretty simple. Seems to me that it is hardest for people to do just the simple things the Lord has said to do and stay with it. If it isn't what they thought it should be, they get weary and abandon it. All right, this is Exodus 20:20. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you. And that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." I didn't put this down here, but I was thinking about the manna. God told them specifically when to gather it, when not to gather it. Don't leave it overnight. Well, what'd they do? Well, they did exactly what Moses told them to do. They gathered it on Saturday when they shouldn't have, and it bred worms and stank. And He got angry at them. This is per the Lord's instruction. Then He said, "But you know, on Friday you gather 2 days' worth, and then you got it, and you don't do it Saturday." You know, God gave specific instructions. Jericho, for instance. If one of them had gotten on their cell phone and started texting and talking among, can you think about it. These are real people. If they had gotten going around 7 days, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 6 day, 7 day, 7 times around, nobody say a word, and don't you say a word till I say shout. You know what caused them to be able to be proven and to do what they were told to do? They saw their parents die out in the wilderness because they wouldn't follow the Lord. They wouldn't keep his word. They wouldn't do what he said. All right. Right here, prove just means to test. Can I trust you to do, per my instructions, what I have called you to do? Or do you just add? We've seen so many pastors come and go in this area. They get out here, and things don't go the way they think they ought to. Before you know, they're back to the Dallas area or whatever area, you know. Why? Did God lie? Does God not keep his promises? Does he not keep his word? I don't think it has anything to do with God. I think probably they got started adding things and doing things because, you know, so much of our church life has been about natural things and not spiritual things. I was thinking about it today, about the apostle, about building a spiritual house. All the emphasis, oh, apostles are church builders, and it's always about a natural building. Well, let me see, how many churches have you built? It's never gauging it the right way about, yeah, how many in the household of God has been built up because of the doctrines laid down. Rightly discerning the Lord's word and what we're to do about it. All right, if every fivefold minister would stay on their track, I believe the body of Christ would become grounded and settled. See, it starts at the top, but it is also has to do with each individual, what God tells them to do. I heard Brother Copeland say this one time. He said, if all the Lord ever tells you to do is take the trash out, he said, it'll be the most glorious trek taking out the trash that you have ever experienced. If you'll do exactly what he told you to do and quit adding this and quit adding that, before you know it, you're out here and you're thinking, how did I get out here? Well, you know, that's what they all do. That's, you know, that's tradition, or that's the way it is in the church world. Enough said. I've said, all right. Whatever God has told you to do, keep doing it until he says not to do it. If he's told you to go on a track, you better not get out of that track. You just stay on that track until he says, now do this. It'll keep you out of trouble. Don't do someone else's track. I was talking to former pastor's wife yesterday on the phone about how, you know, there, I said, well, you know, the Lord's called me to just the Permian Basin, Odessa, Permian Basin. She said, yeah, the Lord's called us to whatever part of Ohio. They're on the radio. And I said, you know, we're so busy listening to everybody and their dog. And I said, you become so scattered. Because then you don't hook up with the track you need to be hooked up to. I said, that's why I don't watch a lot, listen to a lot or anything of anybody else. I really don't want to hear it. If a prophet has a word, more than likely I'm not going to listen to it. Because I don't want me saying what, because they said. It's one thing to give intel report or something, but to say, you know, you get up to say something the Lord said, and you, it's what they said, not what the Lord said. Even if they're right. She said, you know, you're right. She said, if everybody just get in their track and get in their lane, then everybody would do exactly what God wanted them to do and we'd get things accomplished. And I think that one of the biggest things is about that unification. That's what the unity of the body of Christ, everybody gets in their lane. It's like being on a highway and everybody, it's six lanes and everybody's crossing over in everybody's lane and all this stuff. And before you know it, you got all these crashes and you got to call 911 and get us out of this mess. All right. Whatever God has told you to do, keep doing it until he says not to do it. Stay on your track, not someone else's track. That way you will stay out of the weeds. If someone tells you to do something and it goes against what God has said to you, then disregard it. Even if it's me, if God's told you to do something and something I say, well, you need to do this, you better go with God. Because I am a person that, you know, anybody can miss it or, you know, you kind of have to think generally sometimes, not so much individually when you're teaching the Word of God, because sometimes the Lord will say, well, I want you to do this. Then you best do that. Because men are fallible, right? They do their best, but, you know. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 14 there. This is a prayer that I pray every or Monday through Friday. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that it would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, this is one of those things where we're rooted and grounded in love. We are in a place where we're following God in his ways. That's what these prayers are designed to do, to help you come into spiritual line, to follow God's plan. All right, I'm going to read 4 too. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. How come it's just so scattered then? How come it's just anything and everything coming out of every quarter? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, we all have something that we were born for and God has called us to do. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. See, Jesus stayed on track, even though he was so persecuted, even though he had to suffer the death of the cross. He followed the track God put him on, and he finished it. He descended, but then he also ascended. Because he descended, he could ascend. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Isn't this what we're talking about? For whatever track God's put you on, that's the title. What is the title? Stay on track. God has your back. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Just all over the place. Here's that six-lane highway. If everybody, I'm going to make a turn. I crash into somebody over here. Just look at it. Kind of like Reminds me of it's a what, mad, 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 mad world. Crazy. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, that's the way the body operates. The body doesn't have to, it's on its own track, but the parts work together. The brain, you know, whatever. But they all do their function. That's the way the body of Christ is. Okay, let's keep going here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, a lot of people, when it comes to ministry, do not understand. I see that now. I didn't used to see that years ago, but over the last 8 years, the Lord has shown us a lot of things, and it made me understand what I didn't understand before. I mean, I was going here and going there and thinking it's going to be this way and it's going to be that way. Well, I'm thankful God pulled me aside, because then he showed me this is the way it is. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Most all the problem has to do with an unrenewed mind. Because we grow up believing in the church, it's this way. And all the things, it's this way. But when you get renewed in your mind, you begin to see it God's way. See? That's what it says. So you can know God's will. And when you know his will, then you can get in his will and you can walk in the track that he has for you to walk in. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The most satisfied people in the body of Christ are those who have found their place, they've gotten in their place, and they're doing it. That, because so much in the body of Christ, it's competition. Yeah. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us. See, that's the thing. When you find out what God's called you to do, you get in that track and you can run in that track and you're graced for that track. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 3 of that. Really kind of is what I'm talking about here. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The first thing you do as reasonable service, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is not expecting you to do anything until you do this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God has given every one of us something to do, and he has given us that grace to be able to do it. Then it goes on and talks about different kind of gifts here. So we're not to be jealous of each other and envious each other, because it doesn't really make any difference if you keep the kids, have children's ministry, or if you're an apostle. It doesn't make any difference, because you're going to be rewarded according to what you do, and it's from your obedience. It's not from where you stand in the body of Christ or your authority or lack of. It's like taking out the trash, if that's the only thing you ever do. If you obey God, He's going to say, "Well done, a good and faithful servant," just like He. A lot of people think, "Well, I just ain't never done nothing from God, you know." It's not the way, that's not the way it is. He decides. All the stuff that I've been through all of the years, learning what I'm supposed to do, what God's called me to do, most of it, I wanted to be the one to take the back seat. I didn't want to be in the front. I didn't want to be the one up here. I wanted to be one back there. Just sit and listen to everybody else. That's what I wanted. I said, "No, that's not what I want. Are you going to do what I want?" See, that's why Paul said, you know, one says, "I'm of Paul." The other says, "I'm of Apollos." That's wrong. No, we're of God. We're following God. We're doing God's will. We're not doing man's will. That's why I hated just regular church. It was just politics. Politics. Well, if you don't come up through the ranks and do it the right way, you know, blah, 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 blah. Who cares about that? God does it a little differently, doesn't He? See, people don't understand that, and then you get all bent out of shape and get offended and all this kind of stuff with all that junk going on in church. But if you just present your body, get up on that altar, say, "Lord, you know, show me what You want me to do," and don't do anything until He tells you what to do. Then nobody can tell you you're wrong. Nobody can tell you you shouldn't be doing that. You can say, "Well, screw you. I'm listening to God and I'm following Him." I would never say that, but still. You're not going to tell me, "Well, you can't do that here. You're a woman." Well, God says I can. What are you going to do with that? All right. 2 Timothy 4. I guess you get to the place you think, "Well, who made you king?" You know? You ought to obey God rather than men. That's what Peter said. That's what I mean. If a preacher's saying, "You need to be doing this and that," but God says, "No, I said do this," you better do what God said. You better. All right. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's kind of where we sit. Are we listening to God, or are we just listening to fables? Church doctrine. Doctrines of men. All right, it's not easy sometimes to teach Sunday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Sunday, Sunday to Wednesday. That's the way I feel like my life goes on a track. Wednesday to Sunday, Sunday to Wednesday, and then I'll have a shoot come. And there's another track. It's going. Sometimes it can be monotonous. Sometimes you just think, "I don't have anything to give, Lord. I don't have anything." But He always comes through with whatever. Whatever He asks you to do, He always comes through. He's got you back when you're on your track. It should never be a struggle. Now, everybody gets weary from time to time. But this is a grace. This track is where your grace runs. And then you can not get any sleep. One time I can remember, I might have had 2 hours sleep, and I had 2 days of shoots to do. I sat down and it felt like I'd been there 5 minutes. See, that's the grace. That's God's grace. That's what He does. He's not asking you to do it in your own power or your own steam. He's given you that, well, grace to do what you need to do. All right, let's keep going here. See, our mindsets have to get in line with God and His plan. It's not about getting into any churches or any other things, mindset, only God's. Now, he leads you to churches, yeah. He hooks you up places, but I'm telling you, with Him is where it starts. And see, when you get that settled, then nobody can pull you off of that. Okay, listening to anybody and everybody can cause you to get off track and maybe even venture off where He's placed you. I believe this is a big problem. Scripture clearly states we are not to give heed to these fables. You know, everybody's got an opinion about things. But the thing is, say a ministry for instance, they may be saying another thing, but you have to understand they're on a different path, a different track, even though we are a body. Just like the arms function, the legs function. All right, we're going to look at 1 Timothy here. Am I making sense to you? Okay. Lord don't want us to be a train wreck. All right, 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, for which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. See, the message I bring is what God has given me to bring. I'm not... Even though he told me I could use Brother Hagin as a reference at times. But he's given me this message. It's the same message I started back in 94. Same message. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I think Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance, or did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul, he was a zealous man. He was in the establishment. And he was killing Christians thinking he was doing God a service by doing so until he met Jesus. And Jesus put him on a track. I believe that day it was either do or die for Paul. So he got in line. Paul is exhorting Timothy to stay on course. I just read that to you, 2 Timothy 4. All right. Strong's here. Fables means a tale or fiction. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Titus 1, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Yeah. All right, I'm going to read to you. This is the Peter. There's the second Peter. There's three chapters. And Peter is talking about, to me, when I read it, the same thing. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What he's saying here, whatever God's called you to do, he's going to see it through in you. And it doesn't make any difference. You're going to get a reward no matter what it is. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from this excellent glory that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we heard with him when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I'm telling you what, they're trying to get rid of Jesus and his word so heavily today, with all this fallacy. Well, he's just a consciousness. No, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He's not just a consciousness. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. See, these people that are pushing these things, they're very bold in what they do. Very arrogant. Just like God didn't overlook this ungodliness, he's not going to overlook the ungodliness of this era that we live in. Whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not writing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, to speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. It saddens me to see people that are born again departing from the faith that they learned. And they've had an experience already with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're buying into all these fables. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice, forbid the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. The sow that was washed into her wallowing in the mire. See, Peter's fixing to leave. He's fixing to depart. God has already showed him he's going fixing to die. He's leaving this message. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. See, the world before our world. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day it's with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Yeah, he finds you on your track. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do so also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But now grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. If you're really looking at what's happening right now in the Truther movement, that's exactly what's happening. You talk about the chaff being separated from the wheat. I mean, it's become so obvious. The Truther movement is just split wide open. People you thought were telling you the truth, people you thought were good guys, you're finding they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Yeah, they're showing their true colors. We must rely on the inward witness to show us what is real and true and what is not. By doing this, we stay on track. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Don't let what they say sway you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And I've got a few scriptures here on the Spirit of truth, and we're going to be done. This is John 14. Okay. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See, we're following the Spirit of truth through all of this. All right, 15, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Okay, one more. This is John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So we've got the Holy Spirit helping us follow the Lord. We stay on track. God has our back.